You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips. Wentz throws, pass is caught. Touchdown, Boston Scott. Jones in trouble, ball's knocked out by Graham. And recovered by Philadelphia. Is that going to win the ball game?
Ooh-wee! Another Brandon Graham forced fumble to end a big game. This is the biggest one he's ever had. The Eagles pull out an NFC East special on Thursday Night Football, 22-21. I am here with a new guest of the show, Stephen Ruiz of For the Win, USA Today. He's got a podcast. We can get into all that later. But first, wow, what a perfect night to have you on, Stephen, in this beautiful mess of a game. It was 21-10 Giants rather, with under 5 minutes to go. And the Giants, I don't normally feel bad for their fans, but wow, they have come up with some crazy ways to lose games in the last couple of years. And this felt like it topped them all, Stephen.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing how they lost this game. It's like they wanted no part of winning this game. And it's a little concerning because that's why you bring in Joe Judge. You brought him in to like bring the discipline and, you know, play disciplined football and smart football and good situational football. And it just didn't happen at all.
No, the moment I think a lot of people will remember, other than Daniel Jones tripping, and we'll get to that. But the sequence to end the game that Evan Ingram has a pass right on his fingertips. I like the play call. It's 21-16, just a little over 2 minutes to go. Danny Dimes puts a dime on him. And if Ingram just catches that pass, they're in field goal range. The game is over. And everyone is talking after this game, not just how pathetic the Eagles were in the red zone for most of it and how they blew it, but how, oh, this was kind of like a statement game here for Danny Dimes. It's like, well, he tripped and everything, and you know, he did have that interception early, but he makes like a 97-yard drive with, you know, when it matters to go up 21-10, and then he drops it in for Ingram. But Ingram, as he is wont to do, drops the ball, and then the Eagles just go right down the field, and you heard the play call from Joe Buck. That throw to Boston Scott for the touchdown, you at least have to give Carson Wentz credit for a beautiful throw on that play after they had been backed up. But the Wentz experience, and the national TV audience is getting it, it is wild to watch Carson Wentz each week because from play to play, you just kind of have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's either like the best quarterback in the league or the worst quarterback in the league. And there's like no in between. And it was really like a stereotypical game for both of these quarterbacks. Yep. They played all the hits. It was like a greatest hits album from both of these guys.
Right, because Wentz has like, you know, there was a grounding call on him that was huge. There were a couple nice throws early, but he also missed a couple total gimmies. And he had that interception in the red zone that helped them start 1-for-5 in the red zone. And if they had lost this game, that's what people would have been talking about. They had 10 points. And I don't know. Do you think, I guess just looking forward a little bit, this game was so crazy, and every Eagles game is like this now. But do you think of this NFC East that the Eagles kind of, at least have the best recipe of all these teams to maybe get it done?
I don't think there's a question now.
Really?
Oh. After the Dak injury, I don't like who is challenging them.
Well, the Giants should have won this game. We were DMing before the game, and I was like, I have this vision of Joe Judge getting Gatorade poured on himself as they win their sixth game. You said it would happen like they would lose and back into the playoffs. Yeah, that's possible too. They do have like a defensive line, and it harassed Daniel Jones somewhat today, but they weren't exactly dominant. I I like have a hard time knowing what to take out of it because I was so ready to kill the Eagles. I really was. Yeah, it was pathetic. But how can you when the Giants have now lost 15 straight to the Eagles and Cowboys combined? It's like it's an amazing stat.
I would say this was like not a great result for the Eagles based on how the first 75% of this game was going. Like I think Eagles fans were just ready. They were like, just let's just end this season. Let's just blow this up and like start over next year. But now there's some, it's not hope because I don't think people in Philadelphia are hopeful about this team. But like reluctantly, they have to like pay attention to the season still. And they have to, you know, look at playoff scenarios and standings and point differential and all that. I don't know. I would just be tired if I was an Eagles fan at this point.
Well, they're in first place. So I think all these teams actually, how it'll probably play out is all of them are going to have to keep watching it. It's what makes the Washington-Dallas game on Sunday and all these NFC East games, you know, meaningful in some way, or at least you're going to have to pay attention. I have to admit, I kind of enjoyed this game. Like I was entertained. I feel like everyone came into this like, oh, the NFC East on TV again. This gave us what I want. I guess, you know, like you had a moment like the Daniel Jones tripping and falling. You heard the call, and I'm sure everyone listening knows the play, but he had an 80-yard run in which he ran faster than Lamar Jackson has run on any play. Danny Dimes over the last 2 years.
Sneaky athletic.
Not even sneaky, no, but he's not an instinctual runner. Even though he's fast and you saw it, he just trips. He trips, and now it's like we can't even have fun with that after the game, or at least the beat guys can't, because like he's not going to be in the mood to be laughing about that right now.
No, you asked him the question anyway. Like, that's your job. You're a professional. Like, if I'm an editor and you don't ask that question, I'm firing you. I'm sorry. You have to ask that question.
He's got to be so annoyed. He was laughing about it afterwards. And he had these moments like, you know, that 97-yard drive. They are a different offense now with Sterling Shepard back. Even Wayne Gallman was getting in some running plays like for a minute. And their defense, to me, plays like good situational football. Like you mentioned, like that's what Joe Judge should be. But the Eagles make that comeback. Part of it, though, we should mention, was what looked like a pretty bad DeSean Jackson injury. So that is another takeaway. It's like the Eagles just cannot get out of a game without suffering a big injury. And you don't want to guess, but it looked serious. And Jackson's getting up there in years, and you do wonder about his future.
Yeah, and you saw that first drive, Jackson was really involved, and you were thinking, oh, maybe he was the missing piece, and maybe this Eagles offense, which had shown some signs the last two games of taking off, but then after that first drive, it just went back to the laboring Eagles offense that we've watched for, I guess, a year and a half now, or maybe back to 2017.
Well, they had 222 yards, I think, at halftime. They had 27 first downs for the game. And it's funny, you can tell who's watched the game or not, because everyone's given them a lot of credit for, you know, only losing by two to the Ravens. And I don't know. When you watch these Eagles game, this is it. Right. This is kind of what you see. You sort of don't know how they get there in the end. Like, I guess the word I would say would be sloppy. Like, even when they had 222 yards in the first half, they only had 10 points. And it just seems like there's a lot of discombobulation. And there has been a ton of injuries. And maybe that's part of it. But Wentz throwing up like hope balls at least three or four times a game doesn't really have to do with injuries.
And everything is so hard for Wentz. Even tonight when he was completing like corner route after corner route, those are difficult throws. And he just – nothing's easy. And when you remember the 2017 season – a lot of things were so much easier for him. And that first drive kind of looked like that. Like he was going to open guys over the middle. They were motioning. They were going up tempo. And then after that, like you said, it's just hard and sloppy. And they're just like grinding every play out.
He did make, you know, four or five of the best throws in this game. It's not like Daniel Jones had a ton of beautiful throws. You know, the Giants, you know, in terms of working hard, they're the team, like, it does feel, whenever they score a touchdown, or whenever even they get into field goal range, it just feels like, oof, you know, they, like, a lot had to go right for them. It wasn't that way last year. I kind of think, that here's a hot take for you. Feel free to use this, you know, on for the win. Hot take. Good year for Pat Shurmur. Like, I appreciate him more in the 2019 offense this year. And you know what? Like, after watching the Broncos last week with an actual quarterback, like, maybe Pat Shurmur gets it done in Denver, too. So I never thought the Giants fans would miss Pat Shurmur. But at this point, they have to miss every – I don't know. They have to miss everyone. They have to want to fire Dave Gettleman, and it's just so bad.
I'm missing Jim Fossil right now if I'm a Giants fan. That's a deep cut. I think I went back, like, 20 years on that one.
Who is your team?
I'm a Panthers fan. Okay. Don't tell anyone that, though.
I should know that. No, that's fine. You know, we've got a high ranking editor here. The Panthers fans, they're cool. I assume you weren't like a Danny Dimes guy coming into the draft. I feel like not many people were, or even after last year. Or what's your stance there?
I was as much of a Danny Dimes guy as you could possibly be. I wasn't draft him in the top 10 high on him, but he's at least a late first round pick, maybe mid first round pick. I didn't hate the Giants pick. I understood why they drafted him. I didn't understand why they drafted him that highly, but yeah, I saw some stuff at Duke. Like, I saw the things that we see now. He's tough in the pocket. He'll go through his reads almost to a fault. He'll put the ball in dangerous spots, and I thought maybe he'd learn from that, but it hasn't happened.
Hasn't he played, though, to that level? I mean, I don't watch college tape at all, really, a little bit before the draft, but I never even pretend to, you know, have a hot take, but I thought he played like a first round type pick, maybe a late first, early second round pick, but he showed a lot last year. I've been getting increasingly worried watching him this year, partly because Jason Garrett's going to ruin him. He makes some good plays tonight, but the pocket presence, like on that last play, and they probably weren't going to go and, you know, drive for a game winning field goal, but that's something where he doesn't seem to be aware of, like, the people around him, which you like that, like, courage, but, like, that only works if you're Cam Newton and, like, people are bouncing off you. It doesn't work if you're Daniel Jones.
Right. There's a fine line, and he is on the wrong side of that line. It's like he doesn't have object permeance. Like, when a guy goes by him, an edge rusher, he doesn't realize the guy can come back and hit him.
Mm. So how are you feel? So how is your Jones, like, where are you at in the Jones belief scale here?
Well, I'm someone that, like, will give up on a quarterback immediately, especially with these quarterbacks coming into the draft this year. Like, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm already thinking about Trevor Lawrence. I'm done hoping that Daniel Jones turns it around. But like you said, this is just like a terrible matchup or a terrible fit for him in Jason Garrett's offense, because something that Daniel Jones does well is quick game. Like, he gets the ball. If he gets the ball, three steps, gets rid of the ball. But that's not the Jason Garrett offense. It's 5 to 7 step drops, and he has to hold on to the ball, and that's when he gets into trouble.
This it's so ugly, because I'm not giving up. I don't know. The Giants at least seem like they have some fight to them or something. It's such a lame thing to say, but I just feel like they're going to be in this thing. They're going to win some of these division games somehow. Like, the Eagles are going to keep throwing to Hakeem Butler. In his first ever snap in the NFL, Hakeem Butler, all-time draft Twitter bust, on his third team now.
I'm going to pat myself on the back. I was an anti-Butler guy.
That's good. That's good. And they throw to him on the goal line on fourth and goal. And that's when Danny Dimes makes the big drive. You think that was going to be it. It's not it. They lose. And it turns out, actually, Andrew Thomas, their left tackle, I think, is going to go down as, like, the bigger draft mistake compared to Daniel Jones.
And that's the thing with Dave Gettleman. Even if you don't agree with his philosophy of how to build a roster, it's not even like he's good at building it the way he wants to build it. The offensive line is still horrible. The defensive line is good at stopping the run, but they can't get after the passer, really. It's just not good. He's not even building the team in, like, how he envisions it.
Well, the Eagles build it up front. Their defensive line's still healthy. Maybe they get some people back on the offensive line. Lane Johnson was in and out. This game, this result did make me think, okay, maybe they can scratch out these NFC East wins. Maybe they can get to 7 or 8 wins and keep us from caring about the Washington football team and the New York Giants the rest of the year. You know, we care about you, Steven. We're glad you joined us tonight. I appreciate you doing it. You're at for the win. A USA Today joint. What's the name of your podcast?
The Counter.
The Counter. I knew that. Everyone check out The Counter. Download it. Steven is an awesome follow on Twitter. You should follow him there and the stuff he does at For the Win. He's one of the best young guys in the game. I don't even know how young you are, but you look young, so I'm just assuming you're young. Thanks for joining me, Stephen. For Erica Tamposi, who's behind the mic, we will be back here on Sunday for our recap show. Congratulations, Eagles fans. You're going to win this year. We'll see you.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.